The fan. Well, the trade deadline comes up at 6 o'clock tonight.
Six o'clock.
Are they going to make a move? I have a little anxiety about this. I really want them to get a pitcher. I really want them to get a starting
pitcher.
They have
one, Matt Boyd.
Like I said, I really want them to get a starting pitcher. So I just don't know what assets they're going to use to try to get one. Would they trade a current major leaguer? I don't know if that's the... In the cards,
what
or how
major
they're
leaguer
go.
Would you trade on this team?
There's like four I wouldn't touch. I don't know. I don't know if they could afford a bullpen arm. Maybe I wouldn't do it.
I don't know that you need one.
Now I'm not saying to get one. I'm talking about trading one. Yeah, to get.
I wouldn't
a
want to do that.
But not right now. Not the way this bullpen's look. Oh. All right, let's get some perspective on what's going on here. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in Travis Sawcheck. He is the senior baseball writer for thescore.com. Hi, Travis. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Hi, Travis.
I'm doing well. Great to be back with you guys.
Well, we always love having you on. Are you hearing anything on the Guardians as we get in these final hours?
The one thing I've heard is that the biggest fish out there, Garrett Crochet, the Red Sox ace and breakout pitcher, he's likely to be traded, but not White Sox ownership doesn't like the idea of intra-division trading, which I think is misguided for a number of reasons. So he seems unlikely to be an AL Central destination. We'll see if that holds up. But, he's one of these true difference makers out there. I do think the cost for whoever acquires him, should he be traded, will be probably astronomical when you look at the return for Kikuchi last night and some other arms. But yeah, when you look at the Guardians rotation, that's what jumps out to me as an area that needs to be addressed. I just don't know that Ben Lively and Carrasco and Cantillo and can McKenzie help later in the year. I don't know. That's the glaring need for me. When I look at the roster, we'll see how Lane Thomas fits in. But that's just my overall assessment, that the pitching market's very expensive. The top target probably won't be traded in division, and we'll see. I don't know if that's very helpful.
No, it's kind of like what we would think. I think it stands pat to everything that we believe and we see. It's interesting to hear somebody else say it too. You know,
Travis Riddle.
Yeah, I just. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just heard a couple executives from rival teams say the White Sox have the stance against Crochet going in division, but it's really, when you think about it, it's counterproductive because the White Sox are years away from contending. And if you did trade them in division, you're probably returning a pretty nice haul, which would deplete your division rivals at a time when you might be rising to potential contention again. So I don't, historically, some teams have been resistant to trading within division, but others aren't. I mean, we saw the Orioles and Rays make a significant trade to land Eflin in Baltimore. So it's teams are willing to do it, but you know, White Sox ownership, I don't know how open-minded and cutting-edge they are. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
A name we're not hearing very much anymore around Cleveland is Kyle Manzardo. Why? And what do you think is going to happen there?
I'm a believer in Manzardo. I think he's going to be an excellent major league hitter. I still really like that deal the Guardians made last year to flip a pitcher and limited team control in Savali for Manzardo, who, you know, depending on the scouting grades, has at least an above average to well above average hit tool. And if you have the hit tool, which is the hardest thing to acquire and possess as a hitter, then you can build power off of that, like we've seen with some players in Cleveland over the years, like a Jose Ramirez, like a Francisco Lindor. So I'm still a big believer. Could he, and I think if he's, assuming he's not traded this deadline, he will get another look this year on the major league roster. And I thought he had a really rough start, as that gap between the minor leagues and major leagues has grown wider for hitters. We've seen a number of, even the best prospect in baseball, Jackson Holliday, really struggled this year when he got his first look with the Orioles. So we're seeing a number of guys struggle to make that leap, and it often takes a second exposure to find your footing. And I did think Manzardo's at plate appearances were improving as he was gaining a little more time, and I think he's performed fairly well back in the minor leagues. So I think he will get another look this year. I still think he's, you know, Josh Naylor, I don't know how long he will be with the club. You need a future first baseman, DH role filled. So I'm still a big believer. I don't know when he gets that next look, but I suspect if he's still in the organization, he gets another look this year.
Could this be a situation here, Travis? You got to figure that they're going to play Lane Thomas every day. You know, you don't trade for a guy at the trade deadline when you're a playoff contender and not put him out there. So I'm going to assume he's playing in the outfield every day, either in center or right. That leaves one spot maybe in right field. You play Noel, whatever. You have David Fry, who made the All-Star team, who hits right-handed. Manzardo hits left. Could you do a platoon at DH with those two guys?
The Guardians are probably headed to some platoon situation as you outline. I thought that Thomas – I mean, look, Thomas is a fine major league hitter. I did think it was a curious deal to trade three top 30 prospects, according to Baseball America's list, for Thomas, who's much better against left-handed pitching. He
100 points higher
this year. I mean, his splits are dramatically better, whether you want to use traditional advanced metrics. He's much better against left-handed pitching. He's a below-average hitter against right-handed pitching. So ideally, he fits in a platoon. But to your point, they gave up an awful lot for Thomas. So you would assume he's an everyday player. He can play all three outfield spots. He is an excellent base runner. So there's value there beyond just the bat. But yeah. If you're making that kind of investment, you assume he's playing every day, and then how do you fit all these other pieces in? You know, Noel's hit really well. You'd like to see him get more extended playing time. So it'll be curious to see how these pieces fit. The pitching market's so expensive. Thomas was expensive. The pitching market is so tough right now, and it's the extra wild card has just kept so many teams and with striking distance of a playoff spot, and you know, teams that are contenders aren't going to want to trade their top pitchers, you know, typically. So it's just tough. I wonder if they just thought this was the best return on prospect treasure. So we'll see. But yeah, I think we're headed to some sort of platoon issue with a corner DH. We'll have to see how creative and flexible they are with these lineup cards.
Travis, I'm wondering if the Tigers feel the same way the White Sox do about trading within the AL Central with Jack Flaherty. What do you think?
I think they'd be more open to it. And I think Flaherty, again, he's a chip. You could get – look at the Kikuchi trade last night with the – I know the Astros system is depleted, but the Blue Jays earned back the Astros number two, number five, and I think number 13 prospect. So if I'm the Tigers management looking at that, I definitely want to move Flaherty. And I personally, I have no problem trading intra-division because I'm weakening a rival long-term for a rental piece. So, yeah, I think a Guardians fit, a Royal. There's a lot of fits in division that make sense, or any contender. So, yeah, I think that is plausible. And from the Tigers, I'm just looking to maximize return, and I'm not really concerned about whether I'm trading with a potential rival or not. And Flaherty's been outstanding. So after Crochet, I think he's one of the top. He's obviously has less club control, but he's one of those top impact pieces you could acquire. And if you're really thinking out, if you're a contender, those pitching spots in the postseason become so much more important with the extra off days. The best arms on your staff absorb more innings, absorb more starts, so they make even more impact if you do get in this postseason series. And yeah, I think that's another driver of the price in this deadline market.
Travis Sawcheck joining us. He's the senior baseball writer at thescore.com. And last time we saw Travis, he was here in studio with us. Yeah. If you're the Guardians, what are you thinking about shortstop right now, Travis?
With Travis Bazzano making, he's playing in Lake County tonight, if anyone wants to go see him play.
Yep.
It's not just deadline day, it's Bazzano day in Lake County. I think second base, power, I know we talked about him in studio, a few weeks ago. Andrés Giménez, he still might be your best shortstop defensively, and the bat hasn't quite as been as productive as anyone would like. So I wonder if his top best fit as a shortstop long term. You slide Bazan in as early as next year in the second base, and that would allow you. We talked about optionality a little bit in studio, and I think, you know, middle infield, if they believe that's their best plan going forward, then every middle infield prospect becomes, you know, available. And that's an area of, ideally you trade for positional surplus. They have middle infield surplus, and I wonder with that draft pick if that allows them potentially to be more aggressive and moving some of those prospects. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do wonder if Jimenez, you know, to me, I'd love to see him play shortstop. I think he'd be excellent there, and that's really his natural position. He just, you know, hasn't played there because of, you know, other factors.
Travis, I was just curious. Overall, what did you think of the Lane Thomas deal? It's just to make this thing happen and try to get them a bat. And I thought it was interesting last night to even just be said that he could end up in center field too. That he can play center, he can play, you know, right field. So he can play either spot. And you would think with his speed that maybe eventually he could be a center fielder here.
Yeah, I think he's a. I assume he'll play every day, even though he has those significant splits. And he, to your point, he can play any outfield position. The only thing that gets me is just that he is more of a strong side or a short side platoon player. And that's, if you're doing your most damage against left-handed pitching, and of course there's fewer left-handed pitchers, is that it's a useful player. I just don't know that he's one that moves the needle much. Definitely an upgrade for the outfield's been much better this year compared to the incredibly low bar that had been set in recent seasons. And he does upgrade one of those positions. How they make the other players fit will be interesting to see. But I think I thought it was a little of a, I know J.J. Cooper, the great Baseball America editor, thought it was a bit of an expensive price they paid to acquire him. So it was a little curious. Certainly an upgrade, but I'm not sure it's one that moves the needle incredibly far on, you know, their postseason prospects.
Is there a starting pitcher who comes at a reasonable price who you think would be a good fit for this team, as opposed to keeping your fingers crossed about Matt Boyd or Logan Allen or Tristan McKenzie?
Yeah, when I was in studio, we talked about acting earlier, and not that Aaron Civale should have been the primary target, but you look at the Brewers making that trade on July 3rd, and the price has only got more expensive for pitching as we approach the deadline. I don't know why we're all such creatures of deadline, whether we're baseball executives or not, but no one seems compelled to do anything until you get close to that deadline. And of course, prices generally come up. Eflin, and again, the Kikuchi deal is so expensive, I thought, for the Astros. The Zach Eflin deal is kind of curious, as the Orioles, I'm saying how these prices got expensive, but the Orioles didn't give up any top 10 prospects in their system. Granted, it's a very good system to acquire him. So I wondered where the Guardians were on that. To me, if you're trying to maximize short-term impact and this team playing over expectations to date, even though it's cooled lately, Flaherty is someone I would definitely be interested in. I know price would be expensive, but we spoke about potential middle infield depth to trade from that surplus. He's probably, with Crochet likely not going in division, but Flaherty possibly, he's the best next option. I don't know if he is. I mean, he's a bullpen arm, but I still, and he broke his pinky punching a table, apparently out of frustration. But imagine this bullpen with Mason Miller soaking up a couple innings like Adam Miller did in 2016 too. So sure, that's probably a pipe dream. But the idea of building a super pen, if the starting pitching market is too expensive, yeah, that's another way to try to be competitive if you don't want to play in the starting pitching game. So I wouldn't rule out trying to build a super unit either. It'll be interesting to see. We have about 5.5 hours till deadline, so we'll see.
We'll keep counting down the minutes. Travis, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, Travis.
We'll talk to you soon. Travis Sawchuk from thescore.com, super friend of the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We've got our ear to the ground. Let's see what's next for the Guardians as we approach the trade deadline at 6 o'clock. Yeah, I want a Viking haircut. I actually thought about maybe a tattoo over here right above my ear.
Sure. I don't.
I think that'll work?
Yeah.
Give me a lot more TV jobs, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to make sure. Because you are the guidance on that.
Facial tats are always good for television news.
Just making sure. You know, just trying to mix it up a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. 216-474-0092. The word of the day, 6 o'clock. Why? That is the MLB trade deadline. Last night, your Guardians traded for Lane Thomas. They brought him in. They sent three minor leaguers over.
What do you think about what Travis said about him?
About Thomas?
Can I go Menigan on you?
Well, didn't you feel like he'd be a part of a four-man kind of rotation?
He gave me a very feel.
Yeah. It does seem like they gave up a lot, doesn't it? Knowing them, yes. Yeah, I think most people are like, three minor leaguers, whatever. Right? But I just.
Andy Clemmie was one of their bright lights in the minor league system. Even though he's in low A ball.
He got extra hugs.
Oh, he did?
On the way out the door?
He got warm milk? He didn't get cold milk at bedtime. Warm milk?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They made sure he got a little bit extra in the book done before bedtime. They bought
an expensive whoopee for him, too?
Without question. That was not a hand-me-down.
Is he nuts, Jeff? Is he nuts?
Yes.
Yeah, his whole perspective on the Guardians and the way they treat minor leaguers.
Just a little.
It just is so ridiculous.
It goes back, though, Dan, and I'm not kidding. It goes back to Alex Ramirez. If you remember, anybody remembers Alex, you know, when Manny came up, okay, there's Manny Ramirez, and then here comes Alex, and he was touted as the next great hitter, and he turned out that they were right. One of the great hitters in the history of Japanese baseball, because it didn't work here, and he ended up in Japan, and he was great.
Doesn't it go back to Jared Wright?
But Jared
had been up a little bit.
And Jared was good. And then he had some arm issues. You know, Alex Ramirez never materialized here, but by golly, they treated him like he was gold.
I mean, close your eyes and think, if we would just sent, we could have sent Boston Jared Wright, we could have had that Pedro Martinez guy. That would have been pretty good, huh?
But, I mean, look, we could play that game with every single team and trade.
Yeah, that was a hard one. That was a hard one because, again, it was. And it goes back to your basic premise of this conversation. Organizationally, you know, we put our arms around some of these minor leaguers and believe that they are the end-all, be-all, and they are going to help this team win the World Series. They haven't. Not in my lifetime.
Right. And the problem on top of it, like, this made me, when we played this earlier today, this kind of did me in.
Painful.
Why is that painful?
Because they don't like trading their minor leaguers.
Andy, I mean, is it? It's
what do minor leaguers do? They validate your entire process.
Okay.
They completely validate it when they pay off, and then you have them under club control for an extended period of time. I mean, if you can do that, that's the way to go. And this organization really values those guys and the whole developmental process. And you know what? They're pretty good at it.
Right, and low cost on top of it.
Right. Well,
let's be real honest.
No, I said that. Because once they're up, then you have them under team control for a long period of time.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
The problem, and this is the thing, the problem I run into with this is the fact that right now, it's almost like your organization, and I give them credit for Lane Thomas. Hey, good move. You are better today than
he's yesterday. He's a solid Major League outfielder.
But you need more help. And I hope with everything in me that they're looking around and calling the San Francisco Giants and going, all right, how much of the contract of Robbie Ray are you willing to eat to get a guy like that in here? Okay, what if we talk Taylor Rogers, Tyler Rogers? Like, that's a team that now looks like they're selling because they got rid of Jorge Soler. So, like, there's another one that's gotten their feet into the pool. Okay, let's see if maybe there's some deal that we could put together there. I hope that's what's taking place. And they're not just sitting there picking up the phone and going, wait, the cost is what? Oh, no, we can't do. Oh, but they're so cute when they're that age, and they have so much potential and fun.
Let me throw a name at you.
I hope it's not that.
Well, you threw this name out during the break, and it's a guy that we've all seen pitch well for a long time, and that's Blake Snell, who is with the Giants now, and again, he's won two Cy Youngs. He's with the Giants. He has a player option for next year. So you'd be renting him for the rest of the season.
Right, but that player option is $30 million.
Yeah, but if he comes here and pitches well, he's not going to pick it up.
Oof.
The player option's 38.
$30
million. 38.
Sorry. Okay, even more. I think he may even pick that up. That would be very tough to look at and go, no, thank you. And especially for how ugly free agency went for him last year, that'll be very tough to look at and say, no, thank you.
Ryan, Broadview Heights. What's up, Rhino?
Hey, Andy, Jeff, Menigan, Hody. Hey, I want to chime in on, you know, what I think the Guardians should be doing, man. This is just Barry Bewery year. And again, man, everything about it is just screaming, be rational, be rational. Again, I want it all in. Obviously, 06, I'm trading for Andrew Miller, getting rid of our prospects. Jeff, you even alluded to yesteryear's that Clint Frazier trade was scary because we thought he was the future. And again, with that being said, proven players, I think, are better commodities than prospects. Not saying prospects don't evolve into, whatever, all-stars or everyday players and contribute significantly. It's just that, man, what do we really have here? I want to believe in this. Same time, I want to be rational. We are, no exaggeration, one game behind the best team in baseball. And at the same time, I think we're only five games away from just not even being in the playoffs. So it's one of those unique scenarios. What is this? Do we go all in buying it? Do we trade the farm? I say no. And again, I just want to build on this. I don't want to get rid of stuff. I want to build. I want to see what this is going to go for the rest of the year. And I want to build in the offseason, arbitration, signing players that we know are all-stars, proven players. That's the way this team should be. You know, we should go forward with that mentality.
Yeah, but they have never, ever embraced arbitration, ever.
Mm-mm.
They do not.
They do everything
never.
They can to avoid it.
You know why, and it actually makes sense to avoid the arbitration stuff, is because they don't want to have to go into a room or have Major League Baseball go into a room and tell a player why they're bad. It's just counterproductive.
Hey, here's why we don't want to pay you.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer is the only guy that I can even remember going to arbitration.
Now welcome back.
And that's
because
Trevor wanted to test the system.
Again, I mean, there's a multitude of different ways of going at this. And again, I want to believe I'm all in. I love my Guardians, obviously. At the same time, I want to be rational. I want this to be longevity. I don't want to trade away the farm league. I don't want to trade away prospects that I feel contributed later. 2016 was just a different animal. We knew we really had something serious there. Trading away prospects at that moment, I felt all in. That's fine. Right now, man, gosh, it's just buyer beware, man. I really hope they find something out there, bargain basement stuff. Antoine knows what he's doing, so I believe in that. And I want to see this thing play it out, and I can't wait to just see this thing grow. But anyway, guys, great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Rhino. Speaking of guys with names that start with R, let's go to Raymond in Hudson. Hi, Raymond.
Yeah, we were. Sure.
That's right.
Hey guys. I just wanted to jump in like on the trades and the prospects. And I called yesterday. I'm going to preference this by saying – I'm a guy who grew up just thinking Carmelo Castillo was going to be the best player ever. So I'm all, yeah, there's a world one story, ask Hoynesy about him. But it's like, you have to look at these prospects and you say, they all don't play. We don't have enough positions for them all to play. So if Tenya's not up here now, what good is he?
And Ray, that's something that's interesting about him, because nobody's lighting it up at shortstop right now. And if they didn't want to give him a good look, why?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I would have rather seen him than Rocchio, but you've got shortstops throughout the system. They can't all play. And now you're talking about Bizarra playing second and Jimenez playing. So where does Brito play? Because we went all in on Brito. We go all in on these prospects. Like DeLotter, how do I know he doesn't hurt his foot again for the third time? It's like you can love these guys, but you only got nine positions. And if I can get a guy who's going to fill one of those nine positions at the big league level at a quality position, then I'm going to want him. The same way we love Martin Zardo. We thought it was some of us thought it was a great trade. And he's a great hitter. And I mentioned this yesterday. That kid at AA is smoking the ball. Came up from A ball to double A. Well, he's going to want to play. If he keeps going, that's your triple A guy. So then, well, does he push Manzardo aside? You can't play them all. That's what they're there for. If another team wants them, you want to build on that.
Gotcha. All right, Raymond, thank you. Raymond in Hudson.
Does this tell you anything? You tell me. Right now, according to MLB.com, the prospect rankings, the top four prospects for the Guardians now, and it was the same before yesterday, they traded their eighth top prospect in Clemmie, the 19-year-old left-handed pitcher.
Right.
You have two outfielders and two first basemen. Chase DeLauder is number one. Manzardo is still listed as number two. Jason Chorio, his brother Jackson, got the big deal from Milwaukee, is number three. And Ralph Velasquez, the drafted as a catcher but moved to first base and can play some outfield, is fourth. Makes me wonder about something Travis Soucek said earlier. Josh Naylor. We love him. You love him. I love him. He is arbitration eligible next year for 2025, last year of team control.
Where are you sending him this year?
I don't think you're sending him anywhere this
year.
You're
not trading him today?
No, I'm not trading him.
We have enough trouble trying to get
him. No, I mean, who's going to play first base for you? John Kenzie?
Yeah.
I don't think you do that in a playoff race.
Fry?
I don't think you do that in a playoff race. To me, Josh Naylor is your second or third best hitter.
I also think that that's a psychological.
Oh, that would be a downer.
Bust inside the clubhouse.
It'd be terrible. Yeah, it'd be terrible. But I do think it's interesting. You just trade it for an outfielder. Two of your three top prospects are outfielders. I don't. And to be honest, Andy, if they get done with today and they haven't traded DeLauder, I'll throw Manzardo in. Chorio and Velasquez, I'll be very happy. I don't want to see them move those guys. Try and develop a position player, will you? One that can hit the ball.
I don't know.
And Bezzano will soon be on this list. But
did they just find a guy that can? They can. I mean, I know we had one phone call that said he's not a center fielder, but did they find a guy that they can put in center field and just can we relax? We can chill, right? We can just go back. Okay,
I can't wait to see Lane Thomas. He's playing today. He's hitting second. Great. Andy, I don't think you went out and acquired anybody who's going to make you think, yes, we've got a stud in the outfield right now. And I think he's a good major league player. I think he'll do a nice job. I'm glad he's under control for next year. I think that's great. But it's not like you went out and picked up Bryce Harper.
No, it's not. It has been a very, very quiet day, too, hasn't it? I'm like,
so far.
It's not just us. It's nobody.
It's everybody.
Six hours, 25 minutes, 40 seconds away from the trade deadline.
Menigan went ahead and made a sound effect for the whole thing, and we haven't been able to use it yet.
Yeah, why don't you remind people what it will sound like if somebody makes a move today?
I worked really hard on this for
I know.
Amount of time that I probably shouldn't say on the air.
I feel bad. If you hear that, that means the deal's down. Right? And
that's
they're ready
great.
To make something again. 6 hours, 25 minutes, 16 seconds now until we hit that trade deadline for Major League Baseball. It's not like the good old days. There's just one day, and there's no waiver or trade deadline deals anymore. It's just one day, and here's where we sit. And we're waiting to see if the Guardians make a move beyond Lane Thomas bringing in the outfielder last night. Will they do something today? Do you believe they'll do something today? Kevin Franson's going to join us at 1. He is the Nationals color analyst for Masson, M-A-S-N, and he'll tell us more about Lane Thomas coming up at 1. But do you believe they are going to make a deal today? Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You know what? So I have this site that I go to time and date all the time,
yeah.
And I just looked down, and it said Wichita time. Wow.
We're the best.
Wow. Jeff, you are tremendous. This is the first time in the history of this show, 13 years, that I've given the wrong time. I'm so sorry. Next thing you know, weather.
Yeah, next thing you know,
you're going to give the weather.
Next thing you know, you're going to give a wrong weather forecast.
That's
Heaven
bad.
Forbid.
Why do you belittle me such when I talk about the weather, which, by the way, tends to be important in everyone's life every day? I think you're scorned weather-wise for some reason.
Open up the door and look outside.
Oh, is that
how it works?
There's your weather. Is that how it works? Oh, wait. Are you going to touch the sounder? I was very excited there.
No. I got a little football news for you if you want it.
Yeah, give me the football news.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh saying that Aaron Rodgers, who is recovering from an Achilles injury, is unlikely to play this preseason. So Aaron Rodgers unlikely to play in the preseason, according to Jets head coach Robert Saleh.
I'll be. Who would have guessed that?
You going to be okay? Do you care anymore or no?
Oh, I mean, I
or did you turn the page?
No, I want nothing but success. I got no hard feelings.
Love watching him play quarterback too.
Heck yeah! I hope he's healthy. Yeah. Make things fun.
We have spent
more good quarterbacks equals more good football.
We have spent the majority of the day talking about the Guardians. I want to talk about another type of Guardian, and that is the Guardian cap that NFL players are now allowed to wear during the regular season. Jeff Phelps, instant reaction.
Oh, they've been allowed to wear it.
During practice.
They've been allowed to wear it in the season, too.
Hmm.
I don't know. I seem to recall somebody actually wore one in a game. But don't ask me. But Geno Smith, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, has talked about wearing one in the game. Are you ready for the guy that Harvey Korman voiced on the Flintstones? Gazoo?
Yeah, that one
is it Gazoo or Gazoo?
I thought it was the Great Gazoo.
Yeah, I thought it was a G2. Gazoo. But, you know, the head was outrageously large on this little alien guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Guardian cap is it's a cover over the normal helmet, which makes it, you know, bigger.
1965, in case you're wondering. It's a reference to 1965.
Well, you bring it up all the time.
I never talk about the Great Gazoo.
Yes, you have.
But he was the Great Gazoo.
And apparently there's a cover you put over it that has the logo on it so that, you know, you still have your logo on your helmet. I wonder how that's going to go over. And I wonder if people will be okay with it. It will look funny and it will look different. And if it helps them, good.
I think
that's the good for them.
I think you just get used to it. Now, I wonder, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Somebody was telling me, somebody from the Chargers was wearing it the other day. And I still haven't been able to find the picture on it. But do you keep the logo on the padded part of the helmet? Eventually, when you spend enough time in practice, you just get used to it and you don't even think about it. You know, the only problem that you could probably run into is if it's when it's over the ear flap, that it might be hard to hear plays or it might be hard to hear your coach yelling at you. That's all thing. Because I've seen it worn at hockey practice now for almost a year for high school kids. And at first you're like, what are they doing? It seems weird. All of a sudden you get used to it after a while. It's not a big deal.
Here's what Gino said about it. He said, I've been thinking about wearing mine. I'm still debating on if I should wear my Guardian cap. I don't know yet. But obviously I hit a lot of people with my head, so I have to be careful out there. And he continued, player safety is number one. So whatever it takes for guys to be safe or whatever it takes to cut down concussions and injuries, I'm all for it. I think he's right. I think that should be the case.
Yeah, I wonder who they're going to start wearing it, if that's where they're going to go. Wow. Oh my,
look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the poobah has entered the room.
Yes.
So I heard you talking about something, and I need a coffee. So
look what he has. I'm about
to, for those people who are going to see this on video, I'm going to give this to Mr. Baskin.
Okay.
Actually, you know what, better yet? Mr. Phelps, because you're sitting a little bit lower.
Yeah.
So I can actually do this over your head.
You're going to put it on me?
I'm going to put it on you.
Okay.
All right. So that Andy can give the play-by-play.
Okay.
And give an idea of what this is like. So if you could, just stay there. Poobah and take off your headphones.
Poobah is now leaving his microphone, walking towards Jeff's microphone. And I don't know where this thing came from.
What if the helmet doesn't fit?
But that helmet looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. This is actually a 92.
A 92.3
the fan.
92.3 the fan
helmet.
Okay, so I'll do the play-by-play because nobody can hear you off mic.
It is a white helmet with the 92.3 the fan on the side of it.
Did they make that for us, or did we order that? Wow.
You know, I had a rule in television, no props.
Wow, this is amazing.
There.
It doesn't fit. Well, Jeff, you kind of have to unstrap it first.
You can help describe this, Jeff.
Yeah.
All right, so what you have is the white helmet, and they're bringing it. It's a white helmet with the 92.3 The Fan logo on the outside.
Right there
Jeff is now showing it to one of the cameras, which is not up, and he is putting the Guardian cap over the 92.3 The Fan helmet, but the 92.3 The Fan Guardian cap does not have our logo. Therefore, the branding here is just not good. So from advertising standpoint,
I give you why it is?
Why there's no logo on there?
No, yeah, because that's what the Browns are going to wear.
The Browns are going to wear that orange one?
So that orange is for the Browns helmet.
So that is a Browns
Guardian. I don't know what, that is a Browns Guardian cap. So the idea is that, yes, there will be some sort of logo on it.
Yeah.
But although if it's the Browns, it doesn't need to do much. Yeah, they put a stripe through the middle.
That's why it looks like that. Mm. So the idea is that they are trying their best to make an adjustment on the helmets to keep players.
That's Velcro if you're listening along.
Velcro on the back.
And it's really neat the way that they did it because it's, as Jeff will tell you, it's tight. Very tight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's something that really will have trouble coming off.
That you're saying the Guardian cap and is tight to the helmet.
Yeah, there's straps in the front that Velcro to the face mask as well.
So, but the Guardian on the bottom does not go across your chin.
By the way, you're welcome. I mean, really, if you guys did prep time at all and they said, We did.
Booba, we were ready for it yesterday.
Did you want to hop in one of our meetings at 6 a.m.?
Well, no,
we'd love to have you.
6 a.m.? Sure.
Dan and I are
looking
talking
at another
6,
hour and 20 minutes.
I'm just going to get my coffee and leave.
So you're saying, have you seen other ones, though, with the team logo on it? That's my question for you.
I have.
You have? And what'd you think of those?
Yeah, what's it look like?
I think they're good. Well, I mean, there's a New York Giants one that I've seen, which is pretty cool. So the best thing I can tell you about what they're trying to do is make football safer.
Yep.
And
which
I think
is
that
the idea, right?
I think that they hit it out of the park with trying to make a look that is going to work for players, so that they feel like they're doing something right. Because I think there's a lot of times where athletes may not do something because it doesn't look right. Or that there are specific leagues that may say, I don't know, make a baseball jersey that really shouldn't be put on a little leaguer.
True.
So
you're not in for pants splitting?
Okay. So the idea that they actually took the time to get this right and they're going with manufacturers to make it right. It's a good idea.
Does it surprise you, though, and it has always surprised me, that we haven't been able to develop, and certainly I'm not in those meetings, a regular helmet without the Guardian cap that is safe?
That I can't help you with.
I think that's interesting. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, the helmet hasn't protected from concussions as much as you would think a helmet might protect from concussions.
As they got stronger and they started using better materials on the outside, they became a weapon more than they did.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in not too long ago, some helmets actually had soft material on them to absorb hits better. But part of the thinking then was, okay, that doesn't work. And that was great work by the Poobah right there.
That was 13 years. That's the best job you've ever done.
That's the best walking he's ever had.
Well, the only bummer is he didn't leave it in here. We can't have Hody put it on and ram it into a wall.
Oh, no, that would have been good.
If it wouldn't fit my head, it's not going to fit
Hody's.
Where'd
you play?
I played at Rocky River.
Rocky River. Yeah. Oh,
which means
right.
He's completely qualified to put on a helmet, ram it into a wall, and tell us how it goes.
That's right.
They had a softer panel on helmets.
Right.
But they found that instead of deflecting, like off a hard helmet, you immediately deflect, that it would absorb the hit a little bit more, and the contact period would be longer, and that maybe it actually led to more concussions.
I'm
just surprised that over time they've not been able to come up with something, like an outer shell and an inner shell that moves maybe a little bit more.
I think the other thing that's interesting is the rugby helmet, because the rugby helmet looks like the Guardian helmet, and because I've just started looking at some of the stuff as we were talking while I was doing deep research, and it's got the same thing, but it's got logos on the side, but it also has the feel of a boxing headgear, too.
I mentioned this to Dan while we were actually watching rugby this morning before the show.
Sevens or just regular?
I don't know the difference.
Are you counting
sevens?
So we were watching rugby, and I said, isn't it interesting how, football is still trying to figure out how to prevent concussions and head injuries, and they're wearing these big helmets and these shoulder pads and everything else, and here are these, and it was women this morning, running around playing rugby,
right,
throwing each other to the ground, colliding, piles on the field, and they're wearing maybe knee pads.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's like lacrosse goalies makes no sense to me either. There's another one that I'm like,
well, they
wear
helmets, though. They tackle around the waist in rugby.
Right.
And they're not tackling at the head. You know, they're not hitting at the head. And, you know, it's maybe just a fundamental way the football is played that needs to be changed. Hmm. And can you do that or not? I've mentioned this to you before.
I also think, just real quick, I think we're on the verge of medical breakthroughs and technology to help. I mean, we've already come a long way, I think, in the last 10 years. But there are more medical device technologies to improve return rate on concussions. And I think that we're just on the edge of that. I think that a lot of companies started getting into this saying, hey, how can we stop swelling? How can we, you know, try to minimize the damage that we have on head contact before it becomes even worse?
One thing I've mentioned to you, and you've said no, I've always wondered why a hockey-type helmet wouldn't work in football. And I say that because it's not as bulky as a football helmet.
No.
Probably not as protective.
It's not.
Which would maybe change the way the game is played slightly.
Well, the padding on the inside is completely different.
Well, but you wouldn't be leading with your head. You wouldn't, you know, maybe some of those collisions wouldn't. I mean, because if there's another sport that could have collisions like they have in football, it's hockey.
Well, soccer, too. I mean, soccer gets nasty.
I've never understood why soccer players don't wear helmets.
Because of headers? Don't you think it's an advantage?
Okay, well, then put on,
some kind of
head protection that can, you can still do a header. You don't need a helmet, but, you know, some type of head protection, because in soccer, man, it can be brutal.
All right, we are counting down the hours to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. 5 hours. Look at that. It's almost like we went through a time zone here in this segment. 5 hours, 5 minutes, 15 seconds. How about that? Looking good. All right, what will the Guardians do? We're going to talk about that with Kevin Franson about something they've already done, the trade for Lade Thomas. Kevin spends time as the Nationals color analyst for Masson, M-A-S-N. Next, right here, Baskin and Phelps. You know what? So I have this site that I go to time and date all the time, and I just looked down, and it said Wichita time. Wow.
We're the best.
Wow. Jeff, you are tremendous. This is the first time in the history of this show, 13 years, that I've given the wrong time. I'm so sorry. Next thing you know, weather.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're going to
give the right weather.
Well, next thing you know, you're going to give a wrong weather forecast.
Heaven forbid. Why do you belittle me such when I talk about the weather, which, by the way, tends to be important in everyone's life every day? I think you're scorned weather-wise for some reason.
Open up the door and look outside.
Oh, is that how it works? There's your weather. Is that how it works? Oh, wait. Are you going to touch the sounder? I was very excited there.
No. I got a little football news for you if you want it.
Yeah, give me the football news.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh saying that Aaron Rodgers, who is recovering from an Achilles injury, is unlikely to play this preseason. So Aaron Rodgers unlikely to play in the preseason, according to Jets head coach Robert Saleh.
I'll be. Who would have guessed that?
You going to be okay? Do you care anymore or no?
Oh, I mean, I
or did
want
you turn
nothing.
The page?
No, I want nothing but success. I got no hard feelings.
Love watching him play quarterback too.
Heck yeah! I hope he's healthy. Yeah. Make things fun.
We have spent
more good quarterbacks equals more good football.
We have spent the majority of the day talking about the Guardians. I want to talk about another type of guardian, and that is the guardian cap that NFL players are now allowed to wear during the regular season. Jeff Phelps, instant reaction.
Oh, they've been allowed to wear it.
During practice.
They've been allowed to wear it in the season, too.
Hmm.
I don't know. I seem to recall somebody actually wore one in a game. But don't ask me. But Geno Smith, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, has talked about wearing one in the game. Are you ready for the guy that Harvey Korman voiced on the Flintstones? Gazoo?
Yeah,
Is it Gazoo or Gazoo?
I thought it was Great Gazoo.
Yeah, I thought it was a G2.
Gazoo.
But, you know, the head was outrageously large on this little alien guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Guardian cap is a cover over the normal helmet, which makes it, you know, bigger.
1965, in case you're wondering. It's a reference to 1965.
Well, you bring it up all the time.
I never talk about the Great Gazoo.
Yes, you have.
But he was the Great Gazoo.
And apparently there's a cover you put over it that has the logo on it, so that you know you still have your logo on your helmet. I wonder how that's going to go over. And I wonder if people will be okay with it. It will look funny and it will look different. And if it helps them, good.
I think
that's the good for them.
I think you just get used to it. Now I wonder. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Somebody was telling me somebody from the Chargers was wearing it the other day, and I still haven't been able to find the picture on it. But do you keep the logo on the padded part of the helmet? Eventually, when you spend enough time in practice, you just get used to it and you don't even think about it. You know, the only problem that you could probably run into is if it's when it's over the ear flap, that it might be hard to hear plays, or it might be hard to hear your coach yelling at you. That's all thing. Because I've seen it worn at hockey practice now for almost a year for high school kids. And you're at first like, what are they doing? It seems weird. And then all of a sudden you get used to it after a while. It's not a big deal.
Here's what Gino said about it. He said, I've been thinking about wearing mine. I'm still debating on if I should wear my Guardian cap. I don't know yet. But obviously, I hit a lot of people with my head, so I have to be careful out there. And he continued, player safety is number one, so whatever it takes for guys to be safe or whatever it takes to cut down concussions and injuries, I'm all for it. I think he's right. I think that should be the case.
Yeah, I wonder who they're going to start wearing it, if that's where they're going to go. Wow. Oh my,
look at this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the poobah has entered the room.
Yes.
So I heard you talking about something, and I need a coffee. So
look what he has. I'm about
to, for those people who are going to see this on video, I'm going to give this to Mr. Baskin.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Better yet, Mr. Phelps, because you're sitting a little bit lower.
Yeah.
So I can actually do this over your head.
You're going to put it on me?
I'm going to put it on you.
Okay.
All right. So that Andy can give the play-by-play.
Okay. So
and give an idea of what this is like. So if you could just stay there and take off your headphones.
Poobah is now leaving his microphone, walking towards Jeff's microphone. And I don't know where this thing came from.
What if the helmet doesn't fit?
But that helmet looks pretty awesome.
Yeah. This is actually a 92.3
the fan.
92.3 the fan helmet.
Okay. So I'll do the play-by-play because nobody can hear you off mic.
It is a white helmet with the 92.3 the fan on the side of it.
Did they make that for us or did we order that? Wow.
You know, I had a rule in television, no props.
Wow, this is amazing.
There.
It doesn't fit. Well, Jeff, you kind of have to unstrap it first.
So you can help describe this, Jeff.
Yeah.
All right, so what you have is the white helmet, and they're bringing it. It's a white helmet with the 92.3 The Fan logo on the outside.
Right there
Jeff is now showing it to one of the cameras, which is not up, and he is putting the Guardian cap over the 92.3 The Fan helmet, but the 92.3 The Fan Guardian cap does not have our logo. Therefore, the branding here is just not good. So from advertising standpoint...
May I give you why it is?
Why there's no logo on there?
No, because that's what the Browns are going to wear.
The Browns are going to wear that orange one?
So that orange is for the Browns helmet.
So that is a Browns...
I don't know what... Guardian. Yeah, that is a Browns Guardian cap. So the idea is that, yes, there will be some sort of logo on it.
Yeah.
Although if it's the Browns, it doesn't need one.
Much.
Yeah, they put a stripe through the middle.
That's why it looks like that.
Mm.
So the idea is that they are trying their best to make an adjustment on the helmets to keep players...
That's Velcro if you're listening along at home.
On the back.
Yeah. And it's really neat the way that they did it because it's, as Jeff will tell you, it's tight. Very tight.
Yeah.
And it's something that really will have trouble coming off.
You're saying the Guardian cap is tight to the helmet.
Yeah, yeah, there's straps in the front that Velcro to the face mask as well.
But the Guardian on the bottom does not go across your chin.
By the way, you're welcome. I mean, really, if you guys did prep time at all and they said, hey.
We did.
Hey,
we did.
Poobah,
we were ready for it yesterday.
Did you want to hop in one of our meetings at 6 a.m.?
No. 6 a.m.? Sure.
Dan and I'm
looking
talking
at another
6, 5:30
hour and 20
morning.
Minutes.
I'm just going to get my coffee and leave.
So you're saying, have you seen other ones, though, with the team logo on it? That's my question for you.
I have.
You have. And what'd you think of those?
Yeah, what's it look like?
I think they're good. Well, I mean, there's a New York Giants one that I've seen, which is pretty cool. So the best thing I can tell you about what they're trying to do is make football safer.
Yep.
And
which
I think
is the idea, right?
I think that they hit it out of the park with trying to make a look that is going to work for players, so that they feel like they're doing something right. Because I think there's a lot of times where athletes may not do something because it doesn't look right. Or that there are specific leagues that may say, I don't know, make a baseball jersey that really shouldn't be put on a little leaguer.
True.
So yeah.
You're not in for pants splitting?
Okay. So the idea that they actually took the time to get this right and they're going with manufacturers to make it right is a good idea.
Does it surprise you, though? And it has always surprised me that we haven't been able to develop, and certainly I'm not in those meetings, a regular helmet without the Guardian cap that is safe.
That I can't help you with.
I think that's interesting. You know,
what do you mean?
Well, the helmet hasn't protected from concussions as much as you would think a helmet might protect from concussions.
As they got stronger and they started using better materials on the outside, they became a weapon more than they did.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in not too long ago, some helmets actually had soft material on them to absorb hits better. But part of the thinking then was, okay, that doesn't work. And that was great work by the Poobah right there.
That was 13 years. That's the best job you've ever done.
That's the best walking he's ever had.
Well, the only bummer is he didn't leave it in here. We can't have Hody put it on and ram it into a wall.
Oh, no, Hody would have been good.
If it wouldn't fit my head, it's not going to fit
Hody's.
Where'd
you play?
I played at Rocky River.
Rocky River. Yep. Yeah.
Which means
right.
He's completely qualified to put on a helmet, ram it into a wall, and tell us how it goes.
That's right.
They had a like a softer panel on helmets.
Right.
But they found that instead of deflecting, like off a hard helmet, you immediately deflect, that it would absorb the hit a little bit more, and the contact period would be longer, and that maybe it actually led to more concussions.
I'm
just surprised that over time they've not been able to come up with something, like an outer shell and an inner shell that moves maybe a little bit more.
I think the other thing that's interesting is the rugby helmet, because the rugby helmet looks like the Guardian helmet, and because I've just started looking at some of the stuff as we were talking while I was doing deep research, and it's got the same thing, but it's got logos on the side, but it also has the feel of a boxing headgear, too.
I mentioned this to Dan while we were actually watching rugby this morning before the show.
Sevens or just regular?
I don't know the difference.
Are you counting
sevens?
So we were watching rugby, yeah. And I said, isn't it interesting how, football is still trying to figure out how to prevent concussions and head injuries. And they're wearing these big helmets and these shoulder pads and everything else. And here are these, and it was women this morning, running around playing rugby.
Right.
Throwing each other to the ground, colliding, piles on the field, and they're wearing maybe knee pads.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's like lacrosse goalies. Now, makes no sense to me either. There's another one that I'm like,
well, they wear
what?
Helmets, though. They tackle around the waist in rugby.
Right.
And they're not tackling at the head. They're not hitting at the head. And, it's maybe just a fundamental way the football is played that needs to be changed. And can you do that or not? I've mentioned this to you before.
I also think, just real quick, I think we're on the verge of medical breakthroughs and technology to help. I mean, we've already come a long way, I think, in the last 10 years, but there are more medical device technologies to improve return rate on concussions. And I think that we're just on the edge of that. I think that a lot of companies started getting into this saying, hey, how can we stop swelling? How can we, try to minimize the damage that we have on head contact before it becomes even worse?
One thing I've mentioned to you, and you've said no, I've always wondered why a hockey-type helmet wouldn't work in football. And I say that because it's not as bulky as a football helmet.
No.
Probably not as protective.
It's not.
Which would maybe change the way the game is played slightly.
Well, the padding on the inside is completely different.
Well, but you wouldn't be leading with your head. You wouldn't, maybe some of those collisions wouldn't. I mean, because if there's another sport that could have collisions like they have in football, it's hockey.
Well, soccer, too. I mean, soccer gets nasty.
I've never understood why soccer players don't wear helmets.
Because of headers? Don't you think it's an advantage?
Okay, well, put on some kind of head protection that you can still do a header. You don't need a helmet, but, some type of head protection, because in soccer, man, it can be brutal.
All right, we are counting down the hours to Major League Baseball's trade deadline. 5 hours. Look at that. It's almost like we went through a time zone here in this segment. 5 hours, 5 minutes, 15 seconds. How about that? Looking good. All right, what will the Guardians do? We're going to talk about that with Kevin Franson about something they've already done, the trade for Lade Thomas. Kevin spends time as the Nationals color analyst for Masson, M-A-S-N. Next, right here, Baskin and Phelps.